exploring spiritual practices that help us find the sacred rhythms amidst the daily life. Our busy, hectic world can sometimes show up and sweep us up in this tempo that is not ours. You know, the tempo of work and family and obligations and the ding, ding, ding of notifications. Some days we're just trying to stay up with that beat, right? But God invites us to something more, to a sacred rhythm that's about living intentionally and mindfully in deep connection with the spirit of deeper life. And helpfully, throughout our faith tradition, practices have been handed down to help us do just that, that all originate from the rhythm of life that Jesus himself embodied. And so today, as you may have surmised, we are talking about prayer, which for some of you may be an exciting thing. For others of us, it might raise our blood pressure a little bit, because prayer can feel like this thing that only really spiritually people know how to do or even like want to do, right? But I promise you, prayer is open to you and can become a deep, life-giving practice for us all. But I get it, because growing up, prayer, what I saw of prayer was always, you know, men in suits who would come down front. It was always men, and they were always in suits, and they would offer these lengthy prayers full of thous and thees and thines and thuses and, O Lord, Father God's, and forever and ever, amen. You always have to end with Randy Travis in Texas when you're praying. It's no wonder that I found myself like longing to do it, but feeling like prayer wasn't for me, or I didn't know how. And if you've ever felt that way, just know that you are not alone, not in this room, and not even in the story of our faith either. So check this out. One day, Jesus is praying, and after he finishes praying, his disciples who are watching this happen come up to him and ask, "Will you teach us how to do that? Lord, teach us to pray," they say, which is just the most awesome, honest question. Because these folks, these disciples, grew up Jewish themselves. They had been praying since they were kids, three times a day at least. They knew all the right words and the right forms, but when they watched Jesus pray, it seemed different, authentic, deep, and it drew them in. And they came up to him and said, "Will you teach us to pray like you do?" That's what I'm going to do to Johanna later on. "Will you teach me to pray like you do?" That was a beautiful picture of that. And because these disciples asked that question, we get to eavesdrop on Jesus's answer to them. And so one of the places where Jesus kind of teaches about prayer is captured in Matthew chapter 6. And this is cool about this teaching. Jesus's first instruction on prayer is one that I think we can all actually you. So let's start with some confidence here. This is what he says. He says, "Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward." Anyone struggle with praying too much on street corners here in the room? Okay, congratulations. You have passed lesson one in Jesus's lessons on prayer. But this is how he continues. He says, but, "Whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door." Now, this is not literal. If it's a beautiful day outside, you can pray with the door open. It is okay. But what Jesus is inviting us to is simply to be intentional in our prayer, because this is where prayer begins. The rest of that says be intentional on that as well. It says it's this intentional choice to find a space and close the metaphorical door and step away from the drumbeat of it all and seek connection with the divine. And that can happen anywhere. It can happen in the grocery store. It can happen in a room. It can happen during carpool. And if you're driving, keep your eyes open, but you can still pray in that space too. But it always involves this intentional choice to pull ourselves away from the stream of constant busyness and step into a deeper current for a little while. Sometimes that can happen with a word or with silence. Sometimes it takes more time to detach from the day to day, but it is always this intentional choice that takes us from the surface to the deeper places that feel more like home. And Jesus continues in his teaching. He says, but whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door. Be intentional. And then he says, and pray to your God who is unseen, and your God who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus says that in that intentional place, when we make that intentional choice, that you are, that the God of the universe sees you, that you're seen by God. And this is amazing, because I think many times for me, that's enough to be seen, to know that when I go and pray with all that I'm carrying and hurting and hoping, with all that is swirling in me, that in that moment, the God of the universe sees me, all of me. Most of the time, that is enough. And so how do we do that? How do we let ourselves be seen? Well, we let ourselves be seen by letting God know what's really going on, to be honest and authentic about our desires and our requests, our hurts and our hopes, to be honest with God about our doubts and our questions and our frustrations, to let all of it be seen. And Jesus says that it is, which is amazing. But he continues and he says, when you're praying, don't heap up empty phrases as those who don't know God do. For they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Okay, there's another one that we can do. There's another successful lesson we can respond to. He says, do not be like them. Why? Because your God knows what you need before you ask. Not only are we seen, but Jesus says we are known. We are known in this deep way that transcends words. We don't even have to speak in these spaces. Romans 8, Paul's teaching on this, connects with this. He says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. Check. But that very Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows. Jesus is saying that when we pray, when we're intentional and we enter into a place of prayer, we enter into a place where we are fully seen, where we are fully known in the depth of our spirit and the truth of who we are before a word even comes from our mouth, because what we say there is even less important than simply being there with God. And there are things that we deeply hope for and long for, that we let few else around us know, maybe none at all, but God knows, and God loves you. So in prayer, let yourself be known and seek to know God from those places as well, too. In this life, we are longing for real communion and real relationship where we can fully be ourselves authentically. Henry Nouwen, the great teacher, says that one of the great tragedies in our life is that we keep forgetting who we are. And it's in prayer that God helps us remember again. When we are known by the God who knows us truly and fully and loves us fully too. Prayer is, as Richard Foster says, and as Johanna taught us today, the heart's true home. And in this invitation to prayer, God is inviting us to come home to where we belong, to come home to where we are known for a little while, to close the door to the world and open the door to our heart's home and be loved. God's arms are open wide to receive us. God's heart is open wide to take us in. For too long, we've been like the prodigal in a far country, a place of noise and hurry and crowds, of climbing and pushing and shoving, a place of frustration and fear and intimidation. And God welcomes us home, home to serenity, to peace, to joy, home to fellowship and friendship and openness, home to affirmation and acceptance, home to be wholly loved. And so when Augustine says true prayer is holy love, I think this is what he means, that prayer is that experience of stepping into a deeper rhythm and finding ourselves there, fully seen, wholly known, wholly home, wholly loved. And as best as we can, loving back with the wholeness of who we are as well. So if we're seen and we're known and we're loved, then why do we need to pray? If God already knows what we're going to ask, why do we need to ask at all? Does prayer change God's mind is a question I get a lot. But I have to admit, there are some mysteries that are beyond my pay grade, and this is one of those. But I will say, on one hand, like, do I really want a God that I can convince with my opinion and my reasoning to change God's mind? Like, God's up there saying, you know, Jonathan, I never thought of that. It's a great point. Thank you for letting me know. The Porsche will be there tomorrow, right? As much as I think I might want that, I can't even get myself and my kids dressed on the same day, much less govern the whole ever-expanding cosmos, right? On the other hand, I do want a God who listens to the deepest parts of me, who sees me and knows me and is moved by the things that move me deeply and cares about what is on my heart. So that the crux of the mystery is a truth, that God in some way invites us to be a part of this story with who we are, with our deepest desires and our prayers for the world and for ourselves, to be what Paul calls co-laborers with God. We're invited to be a part of the work, to help create something, to live and love the future into existence with God. And prayer brings our part in the labor and God's part, our heart and God's heart, closer together. And so I don't know exactly how change works, but here's one thing that I do know prayer changes. Prayer changes me. As C.S. Lewis says, I don't pray to change God, I pray to change myself. To pray is to change, to be changed by that experience, to bring my heart and God's heart closer together. As I pray deeply for change in the world, I think first of Gandhi's famous instruction to be the change you wish to see in the world. And prayer enters me into that sacred space where that change can begin with me. As we're seen, God helps us see as God sees. As we're known, God, we begin to know ourselves as God knows us. As we're loved, we begin to love as we have been loved. The parts of loving our neighbor that need to be refined, God begins to refine them. Our compassion begins to change and stir as we reflect on the things that stir God's heart. And over, I find myself, as I enter into that intentional space of prayer, changed. And that transformation isn't just about the personal of me, it's about changing how I show up in the world. Prayer isn't an escape from the brokenness of the world, it's a path toward responding to it more as God would, with love and with justice and with life. Prayer connects us to the heartbeat of a God who stands with the marginalized, who lifts the oppressed, who moves toward those on the edges. And when we truly pray, I can't help but be moved in the very same way toward my neighbor in need. Not just praying with my lips, but praying with my feet. As the great justice doer Dorothy Day put it, prayer and action, you need both. Without prayer, without this intimate union with God, we cannot go on. But when we open ourselves to be seen and known and loved by God, we can't help start to see and know and love our neighbors as God does. Prayer doesn't take us away from the work of justice. It propels us more deeply into it. So there's much more that I could say about prayer than we can cover in one conversation. Jesus taught about prayer a lot as well. But when I think about what Jesus taught about prayer, to be intentional, to be seen, to be known, to be loved, to be changed, honestly, sometimes it's the be loved part that I struggle with a little bit too. And I think that's why Jesus, when Jesus was praying, uses that Aramaic word, Abba. Because talking with God, whenever he was talking with God, Abba is this word for father, right? Not because God is a dude with a beard. That's Zeus that we're thinking of when we think of that. God is no gender and all genders, right? But because Abba or Imma is an intimate, loving term, not as much, oh Lord, Father God, as much as Papa, Mama. And so Abba, Imma is this personal, familiar, and loving posture toward God that few ever dared to use to address the great God of the universe until Jesus. And it reminds us in this posture of approaching prayer as people who are known, people who are loved and cared for as children of God. My friend Micah told me a story after his baby was born about that experience of watching his newborn baby sleeping. And he said, I just wanted, as I watched him sleep, I wanted with all I am to let this kid know that I love him, just to put that at the center of his heart, to let him know that I love him totally and completely, that he is so loved that he never has to prove it or earn it or turn anywhere else to try to fill that heart. I just want to put that truth so deep in him that he knows it and he walks with it. And of course, that it helps him sleep a long time in that rest, right? Well, children of God, children of the Abba, Imma, God who knows you and loves you, God wants you to know in the depth of your spirit, in the deepest place in your heart's true home, that you are loved. You are known, you are loved, and you can rest in that for a long time, and you can keep going. That's what Jesus is teaching us when we pray, that you are loved by a God who knows you, who cares for you, and who is with you as close as breath. Of course, that phrase, teach us to pray, also means that prayer is a learning process. We don't have to wait until we think we've got it all figured out and we've memorized all the fancy thee, thine words to begin. We can just begin as learners, right? And so today, I want us to try to pray like this. I want to invite us to experiment as learners with prayer in a simple way together. This isn't as much about getting it right as much as it is about simply creating some space for deeper connection in the midst of things today. And so I want you to find yourself a comfortable space among you. Take a deep breath. Seek to set aside the drumbeat of the day for a moment, just for this moment. Close that metaphorical door to everything else that's competing for our attention. Abba, Imma, God, home is waiting for you. And in this intentional pause, take a moment to let yourself be truly seen by God. Not that a version of yourself you present to others, but you as you really are right now. With your hopes, your heart, your worries, your wonders, your questions, all of you is welcome with God. this pause, allow yourself to rest in being known deeply. The things that feel heavy, the dreams you're almost afraid to voice, the questions that keep you up at night, all of them are held by the one who knows the depths of your spirit and knows you right now. And in this posture of prayer, know that you are already always held in love. Be loved without condition or qualification. A love that requires no performance, no earning. You are already always held in love, not because of what you've done, but because of who you are, a child of God, beautifully and colorfully made. May you discover what you've been searching for, has been waiting for you all along in your heart's true home. And as you breathe in this love, be open to how it might change you. How might perceiving the world as God does shift your perspective? How might being loved help you love others? Help us love as we love, are loved. Align our hearts with yours, God. May we change how we move through the world, that we can move in your rhythm as the hands and feet of Christ, embodying justice and mercy and the love that we seek. Help us love as we are loved. And so as we remain here, being intentional, being seen, being known, being loved, and in the divine mystery, being changed. May we experience what it's like to be home in prayer with the God who loves us. Remain here a few more moments, and Pastor Kathy will continue us in prayer with Abba, Ima, God.